Do you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter? Or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happening, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Ian.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Offsides. I'm Andrew with an A.
And I'm Sonia with a J, and you're listening to the Offsides Podcast. We're so excited that you joined us yet for another week of sports, pop culture, and everything else. We're your one-stop shop for all things conversation starters. We give you a unique and exciting and interesting topics to discuss for you to have a successful and engaging conversations. We take a look into the sports world, pop culture, and news. So without further ado, let's get started.
Talk about exciting. I want to start with one of the most exciting basketball players and maybe America's sweetheart of the NBA, yes. Stephen Curry.
Ooh, yes. Give me all the deets.
So this past weekend was NBA All-Star Weekend. Obviously a weekend full of excitement with the All-Star Game, the three-point contest, the dunk contest. The night started with the three-point contest, and Steph is a heavy favorite, highly regarded as the best shooter in NBA history.
Damn.
So Steph goes, and he's hot, but there's another player from the Utah Jazz, Mike Conley, also had a very good showing, and Steph goes into the final round, and he ends up that Steph has to hit the final shot to win the three-point contest.
Oh my goodness.
It came down to literally the last shot, and if there's anybody in the NBA that I want taking the last shot, it's Steph Curry.
100%.
So without a doubt, he puts it up, turns around. He already knew he drained it before it went in.
Oh my goodness.
And Steph cashes it. It was quite an exciting weekend. That's how the night starts, so you knew it was only going to keep getting better and better from there. We go on to the All-Star game. Steph is playing in the game as well. He starts shooting half-court shots during the game.
Oh, my goodness.
He's draining those, too. It was unreal. Team LeBron ended up getting the win. They played against Team Durant. And the way that the All-Star game is structured now is there's a captain from the Western Conference selected and yes. A captain from the Eastern Conference based on fan votes. Whoever has the most votes becomes the captain. Mm-hmm. And they draft their team now. So before it used to just be the West versus the East, but now you get a mix. So, like, we had never seen Steph Curry and LeBron play on the same team before.
Now, how do you like that? Do you think it's a better way to do it, drafting as opposed to East versus West? Like, that's kind of different.
Yeah, it's definitely different, and I think it creates some unique parity and things that you would never see before, like LeBron and Steph on the same team.
That's true.
But a lot of people also think that this can impact trades, too. Like, a guy will draft someone, and he's like, hey, look how nice it was to play with me. Come join us next year. So I think it's good for the league. I think it shakes things up, and you see scenarios that you wouldn't see before. Yeah. So that's an interesting thing to talk about with your coworkers, is how does this guy fit with this guy, or should he have drafted someone else? So it's definitely, I think it leads to more discussions, more conversations, and ultimately more excitement.
Yes, I saw a lot on social media about them miking up the players during the game, and that's probably one of my favorite things to see and to really hear, because you can't really hear it when they're playing the game, but when you take that all the other audio out and just hear what they're saying, some of the stuff they say is pretty funny, and it cracks me up. So I'm excited to see how, if any of this changes. Do you think it'll change?
The All-Star Weekend?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they'll keep this format because, like we both said, it's fun. It mixes things up a little bit. But I'm curious, who did you hear mic'd up?
You know his name and I cannot pronounce his name. So would you just like to tell me?
Are you going
to
give it a try?
I don't want to butcher it.
All right, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
He goes by for those of you listening that aren't familiar with him and don't want to get that mouthful or that tongue twister, try and say that in front of a date and completely butcher it. He goes by the Greek Freak.
Ooh, I like that. Why is that?
Because he's freakishly athletic, he's freakishly tall,
okay,
and he's from Greece.
No way! I had no idea he was from Greece. Do you know where in Greece?
I am not positive, but he has some other brothers in the league as well. There's a there's a lot of Antetokounmpo brothers.
Really?
There's one on the Lakers. He won a championship last year with the Lakers.
Wow.
So we gotta find nicknames for them because that last name is just a mouthful. But yes, Giannis, who won the MVP of the All-Star game actually, goes by the Greek Freak.
Oh my goodness. So I'm looking at his last name and I'm going to say it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 letters!
That's half the alphabet right there.
You know what? That is wild. 13 letters? Imagine, you know, giving your ID to someone and they go, can you pronounce this for me? I recently went out to brunch with a bunch of friends and a lot of them were Greek. And the waitress did that to her. She goes, can you pronounce your last name? She goes, yeah, it's this. And she goes, that's so pretty. I love when you guys say your last names. But it was about 13 letters.
There really is a way that when someone has a long last name like that or a very cultural name, the way that they pronounce it, it's like, oh my goodness.
Sounds so much better.
It sounds so much better. But Giannis's family makes me laugh because his name is Giannis. Mm-hmm. His other brother in the league is Thanasis.
Ooh.
There's another brother named Kostas. And he has his youngest brother, who's also a very promising basketball player, who's named Alex.
Oh my goodness. Thanasis, Kostas, Francis. I like Francis. Alex. Maybe by the... Is he the youngest? Is Alex the youngest?
I think Alex is the youngest.
By that time, they're like... Just make it plain and simple.
I hope his middle name starts with an A, so we can just call him Triple A.
Ooh.
See, he's got a built-in nickname there.
That would be really cool. Well, good for them. I look forward to seeing what if now. We talked about this last week with all of the Watt brothers playing together, possibly. What if all of the Antetokounmpo brothers played together on the same team? And it could be for like an all-star. How wild would that be?
I think that would be so cool, especially if they played on the same team in the league, not just for one game.
Yes.
That would be really cool. There's two brothers in the league. There's been sets of brothers in the league a long time, but there's these two brothers, Marcus and Markieff, and they played together for a long time. They both bounced around and been on the same team. They're twins, but what makes them really interesting, they're on different teams now. It's funny, one was on the Clippers, one was on the Lakers. So they were both in LA, just on separate teams. But what makes them really interesting is they're twins, and they have the exact same tattoos.
What?
They literally...
Same place?
Yeah, they literally have just continued their twin thing. Apparently, they're one of those sets of twins that just embrace the matching thing. You know how twins look back at pictures and they're like, oh, why did mom always dress us in the same outfits?
What? Yes.
The Morris brothers were like, let's go to the tattoo shop and get the exact same thing.
Tattoo in the exact same place so no one can ever tell us apart. They're identical, I'm assuming.
Yes, and they look very similar. If you had an identical twin, would you have tried to pull pranks when you were younger? Like,
100%.
One of you is better at math class, one of you is better at English, so one person just doubles up on English, one person doubles up on math. I'm sure you could pull it off on some teachers.
100%. But if I was a twin, I would like to have a twin brother. I think that would be more fun to do than a twin sister, but, you know.
If you had a twin brother, let's say, would you rather have an identical or fraternal twin?
Isn't it automatically fraternal since it's a male?
I guess, but I mean, you could still look very similar.
I would do, identical would be really cool. I think that'd be kind of fun. I think it would be funny too once like we were older and we were dating and people like connected it. It would be kind of cool. I don't know. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, that is cool. There was another set of twins in the NBA actually, Caleb and Cody Martin, who played at UNR. They had a very successful college run, made it to the league. They both were in Charlotte. So it's really cool to see sets of siblings on the same team in a sports team. I would have loved to play a professional sport with my brother. I'm rooting that LeBron James' son makes it to the NBA so that LeBron and his son are in the league together.
That's kinda, a special thing.
Kind of like Ken Griffey and his dad played baseball together. That is just unreal. I couldn't even imagine playing a professional sports league with the man who taught you
everything
about the sport and brought you to love the game. So I really hope that, and I think they might have to change the rule, though. The rule right now is that you have to attend college or play overseas before you can go to the NBA. You can't go straight from high school.
Did they change that?
That's been in effect for a while, but players like Kobe Bryant.
I was going to say,
Like Dwight Howard, they went straight from high school, and I think if you're ready to play in the league when you're 18 years old, you should be able to.
I'm going to play devil's advocate on that, and I firmly believe, and this is just a personal opinion, that they should at least do like they do in baseball, where if you don't get drafted right out of high school, you have to go to at least, I believe it's 3 years, and then your junior year of college, then you can get drafted. Because it's hard, and I've seen it for basketball, where they don't get drafted right out of high school, so they go and play for a couple years in college, then they get drafted, and then they don't make it. And then they're like, well, what do we do now if they don't make it? And they're still like in the minors trying to make their way up. But if you have an education and you do play, you get more attention, I think, when you play college. Because, you know, going into our next topic, the NCAA tournament. And like that can really help your career in athletics, especially with all of like the hype around it and the media and if your team does well. And I think if you get recruited to a good team, that also helps, and you have a good coach that can develop you as an athlete, that's something super important, especially your teammates as well. So that's kind of the flip side of how I see that. But if you can't do it, by all means, go for it. But I think it's harder to come right out of high school because you have less experience and playing time than if you were into college, because you never know. Like, you could win and that would be it. Who's the one that plays for the Pelicans?
Well, Zion Williamson.
Yes, that's what Zion Williams. And he did really well in the tournament.
For those of you listening, Williamson. You don't want a date making fun of you. Zion Williamson.
Yes. Yes. And so he got drafted after college and he played in the tournament and he's doing really well. And he was one of the number one overall draft picks.
Yes.
When he started playing. So there's the kind of like the other side of it. So.
Yeah, I think he would have been the number one pick straight out of high school, though. And it is an interesting conversation to have, because the biggest thing with a high school kid, I think, is just someone coming straight out of high school at 18 years old and you're going and playing against 30-year-old men, 35-year-old men.
That's another.
Just physically, it's different. You haven't had trainers that you'll have available in college. But also just, you haven't lived on your own, probably. You've always lived with your parents. You haven't had access to millions of dollars that you now have.
Yes, a bank account.
It's a big adjustment, for sure, for someone from high school. But I'm glad that you mentioned the college thing in the NCAA tournament, because that's about to start. And we missed that last year. It's been almost like 2 calendar years now without the tournament.
2? How has it been 2?
Calendar years.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, because we skipped last year. So, I mean, I'm excited about that. They had to find a unique way to do it. They're going to host the entire tournament in Indiana.
Oh, I did not know that. Indiana, wow.
Yeah, so the teams don't have to travel as much, limit that. You can keep everyone in a bubble, per se. So it should be really exciting, and I'm curious how it will impact the athletes playing in an empty stadium, because obviously they've been doing it for so long now, but the tournament, there's so much excitement, so much hype, and college sports are really built on feeding off the fans and the fans trash-talking the other team. And there's a lot of head games that go into it. So are you excited for the tournament?
That's to say the least. College basketball is probably like my favorite sport to watch. It's so exciting. It's just, they all really just want it. And it's, they want to collectively win and get better and better. And I love when there's upsets. Oh, I love when there's last-minute buzzer beaters. I love every aspect of it. You can find me, you know, a couple years ago in the casino and the sports book, like, they like all of the TVs, all of the games. It's so exciting. It's one of my favorite. And hopefully our teams will do well. I'm going to do a bracket. Hopefully I'll win some good money on my bracket this year. What about you? Are you excited?
Oh, Of course. I'm a big NBA guy, and I love basketball as a whole. College basketball, definitely the tournament is just the utmost excitement, the pinnacle of college basketball. I remember being in high school when you really get excited about it and your teachers are rolling in TVs to watch them.
Yes.
And that, I mean, that hasn't changed now still. I'll be at work and I've got one laptop showing one game, my phone pulled up on another game. I'll go sit in the conference room that has a TV so we can pull up a game in there, schedule a meeting with all my coworker friends so that we can pull it up and we can all be in there. So it's exciting. Filling out the bracket is awesome. You always feel good after those like first 8-10 games when you're like, oh, I still got a perfect bracket. This is the year. I'm doing it. And then there'll be that upset, like you said, just so much excitement. But you said, obviously, you're going to be rooting for your teams. You love college basketball. Who is your team?
Oh, you know what? I cannot stray away. Purdue Boilermakers, which I did see the first round of the tournament, is going to be in West Lafayette, Indiana at Mackey Arena. And I lived right down the street from there. And that like makes me so happy. That's such a cool arena. I remember sometimes when it was freezing cold in the winter, I wanted to work out and I didn't want to walk all the way to the co-rec. So I would walk down the street and get into the arena and sneak in and run the stairs all the way around the arena. And then I would sit there on the court and just be like, this is the coolest thing. Like, no one was in there, just me, myself, and music's playing in my ears. And I'm like, this is, I can't imagine what it feels like to play in this huge arena packed. So, like, after running all of the stairs in the stadium and just sitting there and taking it in, like, it's such a cool place. And I'm bummed I can't be there for it, but I'm so happy they're going to represent Purdue and play in that arena. So exciting.
Come on, you never take a basketball with you just to get a couple shots up?
Well, the
just
thing
to pretend the clock was running down,
you
one
know?
Second left, it's Sonya to win.
Okay, so I wanted to do that. But I don't think I was, like, supposed to be there, and I didn't want to draw attention to myself. And I know once they started hearing, like, me dribble the ball, I was like, I'm going to go. And, like, I don't want security to follow me. And I would, like, always sneak around the back. So that is a little different. But I did have other opportunities to go and shoot on the court when there was other people there, just not when I was alone. You know, try not to draw attention.
Yeah, you didn't want to lose your stair-running stadium.
You know what?
Fair.
It was such a cool experience. And, like, you know, sometimes you just got to be alone and in the zone and, like, in that arena. Like, I've been there when it's completely jam-packed. And I've been there all by myself with no one else around. And, like, to see that is, like, the coolest thing.
Well, that's how it's going to be for the players now. No one in there. They're going to have the same experience you did.
Well, good. I'm glad we get to share that same experience.
Yeah, so you kind of know how it feels. Were football games a big deal at Purdue also?
Very, very, very big. I loved going to football games. We had a huge tradition called Breakfast Club, and we would get up super early and all dress in funny costumes, and then by the time the game was there, we would all walk up the hill and sit in the stands. Night games were my favorite. Finally got big stadium lights so they could play at night. When it was cold, it wasn't as fun, but it was still fun because you were with all your friends. My favorite was to sit by the band. They loved to know that they played the coolest songs. Purdue was known for having the world's largest drum. So that's kind of fun to do that. And just to be able to walk down to the stadium and to just take it all. I'm so sad I wasn't able to go when we beat Ohio State. But to watch it on TV and to know that I've been in that arena. I've also ran the stairs there. I've ran on the field as well. It's really cool. Football's a big thing there, and I hope they do well this next upcoming season. Boiler up.
That's awesome. That's so cool. What was your favorite costume you wore?
My favorite costume I wore, it's a good question. I was Princess Jasmine, and we were all Disney princesses that had spent the night in jail. So we had the little black, you know, sign, and I was in trouble for harboring a fugitive.
I love that. That is such a great idea.
It was really fun. I had a friend that was Pocahontas, and she was in trouble for treason. My other friend was Tinkerbell, and she was in trouble for reckless flying. And my other friend, bless her heart, she was Alice in Wonderland and in possession of narcotics. So
those are so great. So creative. Talk about changing the game and thinking outside the box.
Yes, definitely fun times. hopefully when games are open again, we'll have to go and you can experience it with me.
Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of friends that went to Purdue. My sister-in-law actually went to Purdue. Ooh. So there's a Boilermaker in the family. So yes. I definitely need to get out there and experience it. I talked about your costumes and thinking outside the box and changing the game. And someone that I think always does that, and it's interesting to bring him up in a conversation about sports, is Macklemore.
Oh my goodness. Take me to the thrift store. I will buy everything. Macklemore is the best.
He really is. And like you said, I think he kind of, especially with his music, ventured into a genre that kind of wasn't there. He was willing to put himself in a kind of uncomfortable situation that yes. maybe was outside of a lot of people's comfort zone, and
yes.
it really worked for him, and he's had an extremely successful career. But he's taken on a new venture, and the reason I bring him up in our sports conversation is he started a golf brand.
I saw this, and his stuff's actually pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. I may wear it.
It is really cool, and it's a little bit thrift shop inspired. He said when he was researching ideas for the line, he purchased a bunch of vintage Golf Digest magazines
Ooh.
From the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and he wanted retro-themed pieces that also would work today and were a little modern. So if you look up his company, Bogey Boys.
B-O-G-E-Y-B-O-Y-S. B-O-Y-S.
Yeah, so Bogey Boys, because in golf, for those of you that may not know, you can get a par, but if you shoot one, which a par is even on the course, at each hole it'll tell you, so if it's a short hole, it'll be like, if you make it in three, that's called par. But if you go one over, that's a bogey, which a lot of amateur golfers and those that have just started during COVID, because I think golf has skyrocketed, especially with people in their 20s to 30s.
Yes.
In quarantine, that was one of the only activities that you could really get out and do. But a bogey is if you shoot one over par. So amateur golfers obviously want a par, but a bogey's not too bad either. And Macklemore actually has some stuff that says that. And I think the line is really cool because it's kind of venturing into a world that wasn't there. Golf is kind of has always been kind of formal and maybe a little bit stuffy. And it's a country club sport. But this is really trying to open the door to a lot of people who want to take on the game and maybe just didn't feel that they had a place there because of the attire or something like that. This really brings some life to it and makes it more fun just with what you can wear. I know you're looking at some of the stuff. What do you think of kind of the retro-inspired look?
I love the colors he chose. I think it's super exciting. I think it's really cool, and the story behind it is super interesting. If you go on bogeyboys.com and you can click on the story, it refers back to him, Macklemore, and his brother in Hawaii, and him playing golf with him, and he goes, you know, we didn't probably hit the ball into the green at all the entire time, but it was the aspect of, like, connecting with my body and, like, the feeling that I got and the rush that came over my body and all of, like, the dopamine and that feeling that it was so exciting, and that he said it's never left his body from that. And I think that's really cool. And he said he wanted to create that feeling again. So with that, that's where that passion comes from. And I think that's a really cool story.
I feel that. You go and play, I don't know if you've ever golfed before, but you can go and play 18 holes. And as long as you hit one or two good shots during the day, it keeps you coming back. That can save you. I don't know. Same thing can happen when you go mini golfing. You could have yes. a terrible day, but you get one hole-in-one on that mini golf course, you hit that ball through the windmill on your first try,
yes.
you're coming back.
It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. So the last time I went mini golfing, I went on a date, and I won.
Wow.
But then I went a couple weeks ago, and it was not mini golfing, but I went to
Topgolf.
I went to Topgolf, and they have this new thing at Topgolf. So you know how you normally shoot, you hit the ball to go in the different colored circles, and that's how you get the points. But me and my friends were like, we're not golfers. We just want to have a fun time. So they have this new game where it's connected to Angry Birds. So when you hit it, you can play Angry Birds on the TV screen and still hit the balls, which I think is so much more fun, less pressure. And I love Angry Birds. I don't know if you were a big fan of Angry Birds, but it is such a cool thing that they've incorporated that with their technology. And definitely try it out. If you haven't been to Topgolf, try it. It's really cool. Topgolf is always a fun place to go. But yeah, that was my last experience golfing. I probably should go on a real golf course, but I gotta get a cute outfit first, you know? Maybe I'll go to Bogey Boys.
Maybe. And yeah, for those of you that are unfamiliar with Topgolf, it's basically a social driving range.
Correct.
It's a social event where you don't have to get in the cart and drive 18 holes.
Nope.
You can walk up there, hit a couple balls, then go back, sip your cocktail, grab a bite to eat.
You can do it at the same time, though.
Exactly.
Yes, you get like a little booth or a bay area, and then there's different tiers you can go on. You can go high or you can go low. You can rent out the whole space. You can play and actually try and hit your balls into the different colored circles that they have, or now recently introduced, they have the Angry Birds game, which is really fun. I find it more amusing, and it was a cool competition with my friends, but
that's really cool. Like you said, you went with some friends, and before we segue into the next topic and tackle pop culture, I want to know, do you think Topgolf is a good date?
You know, that's a good question.
Because it's not, you probably wouldn't do it for a one-on-one date, but it would have, because you're never going to be talking to each other. One person's up there,
that's
one person's
funny.
Back here. But do you think Topgolf is a good, like, group date spot?
I do. And personally, I'm a fan of active dates. Because when you're just sitting there, like we are right here, sitting across from each other, and you feel uncomfortable, you don't know what to do, like, you can be active and still do something, and it's not as, like, pressure as like, sitting at a table eating dinner or shoving food in your mouth. So I think it's a great option. If you go with friends and people, you can have a drink, you can, you know, go and play, you can sit and talk to someone, so I think it's a good option. What do you think?
I completely agree, and like you said, an active date is good, because when you're just sitting there having dinner, there can be a lull in the conversation, which is exactly what we're trying to help you avoid.
Yes.
So that's why I would recommend Topgolf for something active, is because you always have something to talk about.
Like,
oh, that was a funny swing, or wow, what a great hit.
Yes.
Or look at what that person did over there. So there's always things to talk about. If you're in a group, and this is very much a group setting, Topgolf, there's always, you know, someone saying something, there's a story being told. There's a lot less pressure, so I would highly recommend Topgolf as a next date spot, a group date, or just an outing with friends, a boys' night, girls' night out. I think Topgolf really fits any situation.
Yes, I totally agree. Hit up your next Topgolf. They are still open. They are here in Las Vegas, so check it out. Let us know what you think.
And check out Bogey Boys. Let us know what you think of their brand and the Styles Macklemore shows. Macklemore is a Grammy-winning artist.
I've
seen him in concert 3 or 4 times.
No way! Was he good live?
Oh my goodness.
Sounds just like...
I went back 3 times after I saw him the first time,
I
would say so. So I really love that we got to talk about him and that he created this brand that fits into sports, into golf, and really is trying to change the culture, because I feel like that's something he's done. But the 2021 Grammys are coming up.
Yes, I'm so excited, and I'm looking over all of the nominations, and it's so interesting to see everyone and their amazing accomplishments, you know, with a year that we've just come off of, and it's pretty cool. I'm excited to see who wins. I'm going to give you the rundown really quickly.
Yeah.
So for the top couple record of the year, we have Beyonce, we have Black Pumas, we have DaBaby featuring Roddy Ricch. Is that how you say it? Yes. Say So by Doja Cat. Everything I Wanted, Miss Billie Eilish. Don't Start Now, Dua Lipa. I love her. She's fantastic. Circles by Post Malone. And Savage. Megan Thee Stallion featuring Beyonce. Ooh, Album of the Year. Now, this is interesting. We have Chilombo by Janae Aoki. I love her. She is absolutely gorgeous. And that girl can sing. Yet again, Black Pumas, Coldplay, Jacob Collier, all right, and we got Haim, Dua Lipa again for another nomination, Post Malone yet again, of course, Miss Taylor Swift, and then Song of the Year, we'll stop it after this one. Song of the Year, we have Black Parade, The Box, Cardigan, we have Circles, Don't Start Now, Everything I've Wanted, I Can't Breathe, and If the World Was Ending.
Those are, that's a good list right there. It's hard to make some decisions. I want to put you to the test here.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you some of the nominations from different categories, and I want you to tell me who you would choose as a winner.
Okay.
Because I think when you're just starting to get to know someone, when you're on a first or second date,
yes,
you can learn a lot about someone from their music choices, who they like.
Even just a friend. It doesn't have to be
Jay. Yeah, a friend to a coworker. I just think you can learn a lot about a person based on their music choices. And I also think you can learn whether or not you'll be compatible with that person. Like, if someone's a diehard country music fan and the other person, like, doesn't like country music at all, and that's the one I feel like there's the biggest disparity, it might not work out. That might just tell you the interests are going to be different here.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, so best new artist, and there's a long list here, but I'm going to give you who I think are the top three.
Okay, top three, I love it.
Noah Cyrus,
mm-hmm.
Doja Cat,
mm-hmm.
and Megan Thee Stallion. Who are you going with?
So I have listened to a lot of Noah Cyrus's music. You said Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion. That's tough. That's really tough. But I'm going to have to go with Megan Thee Stallion. I think she's very influential, and she's really trying to push, you know, boundaries in the box. And I think that she has that. We have a lot to learn from her, especially in the industry and everything. And a great, I love it that you gave me three females in this category, but I'm going to have to say Megan Thee Stallion. She has, I don't know. She's just got hit after hit. And I think she could do it.
Yeah. I honestly think she'll win that one too. It's funny. I feel like a lot of like Doja Cat, even Megan Thee Stallion, I know like 20 to 30 seconds of a lot of their songs because they become so popular on TikTok and in videos like that.
Yes.
Then I'll hear it there, and then I hear it on the radio, and I'm like, oh, that's the other words in this song?
Yes, that's very true. You hear, like, the one main bridge or, you know, everything. That's so funny. Because I've noticed that, too, because I'll hear the whole song. It's like, I really like this part of the song, but, like, they only highlight this 30 seconds of it because that's where the music – I totally understand. So I'm going to switch it up, and I'm going to do – oh, okay. I don't know if you were a boy band fan, but I was a big boy band fan. Say that five times fast. And so we're going to do three groups of the best pop duo and group performance.
Okay, let's do
it. And then I want you to tell me what you think. So I can't not mention Intentions by Justin Bieber featuring Quavo. Dynamite by BTS. Ooh! And then, ooh, you know what? I'm going to give you all five because this is hard. Un Día, One Day by J Balvin, Dua Lipa, Bad Bunny, and Tini. We got Rain on Me, Miss Lady Gaga, and Ariana Grande. And last but not least, Exile by Taylor Swift featuring Bon Iver.
Oof.
So, what would be your pick? Because this is tough. This is really tough. I don't even know what I would pick.
Yeah, that's quite the collection. That's a good playlist right there.
You know, just playing these five songs?
Exactly. I think...
they're all good ones.
I'm biased here.
Okay.
I love Justin Bieber. Not just because I love Bieber, that is a great song. So
it was a good song. I do like the song.
So I'm going to have to go with Justin Bieber here. I think he's great. He has a new album coming out, actually.
Justice.
Yeah,
it's March. Pretty soon, next week.
I think it's March 19th he's coming out with the album.
He has two singles off of there, I believe, that he's already released. If I were to pick from this group, I would say it would be between Justin Bieber. It would be between BTS. Because I think they're an absolutely phenomenon, international phenomenon. And then I'm going to say Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. You can't sleep on those two. They're both pop icons, and I think that they are going to do well in this world and make some more music together, hopefully.
Yeah, Justin Bieber has another song nominated, actually.
Oh, no. Which song's that?
For Best Pop Solo Performance with Yummy.
Ooh, I did a hip-hop dance to that one.
That is definitely one that you could choreograph a good dance to.
It was good. It was a little tough, but it was a good one.
Yeah, so I'm curious, though, because I feel like Yummy came out so long ago, and even, I mean, with the whole quarantine, I feel like things were so long ago. Like, can you believe Tiger King was less than a year ago that people were watching that?
Oh, my goodness.
But my question is, when a song, say a song was released on December 27th, 2020, does that song be part of, do you think it's part of the 2020 Grammys or the 2021 Grammys or the 2022? Like, what year does it fall into?
That's a good one because I've always wondered that too. And my thing is I'll give you the best reference that I can think of. So Ariana Grande, I'm a big fan. Her album, Thank You Next, literally was amazing. It changed, like, it got me through some rough times, and it literally changed me. And when I'm having a bad day, I just put that whole album on, and it was released in February of 2019. Now, it was nominated for a bunch of Grammys and awards in that same year. But the awards show happens, you know, in the following year. So when that happened, Billie Eilish had come onto this scene and she won Album of the Year. Now, in her acceptance speech, she goes, Ariana Grande, she literally looks at her and says, you should have won. Thank You Next got me through some shit too. And I honestly, you could have won. And Ariana Grande was so graceful, so nice. But my question is like, it's hard because what if another artist like comes out later in the year, let's say, you know, August, September, October, you put one out in February, and then they go and take that category, you know? So it is hard. And I think that's an interesting question of when they judge if it's the year it's released or the year that it comes, you know, the year it's released or the year of the award show.
Well, thank goodness we're alive in 2021 and we've got this great thing called Google because I have an answer.
Okay, tell me.
So there's an eligibility period.
Okay.
So for the 63rd Grammy Awards, mm-hmm. the eligibility period was from September 1st, 2019.
Okay.
Through August 31st, 2020. So anything that came out after August would be considered for the following year.
Wow, August. Interesting.
Which I always think is interesting because when you do watch the Grammys, you'll see songs and you're like, man, I forgot about that song. And I always wonder if that helps carry some momentum in voting, like a song that you're like, oh man, I forgot about that song, I love it, or if a new hot song is better, like which one is better. And I think there's a lot of artists that are Grammy driven, award driven.
Yes.
But I also think there's a lot of artists that just love the music. They do it for the art form. So I think it'll be very interesting to watch. We've seen all these award shows now hosted without an audience there. So they've really figured it out. I think the performances will be great. They've really been able to do some cool and unique visual things, intimate things that you wouldn't be able to do as from a taping standpoint when there's an audience there and you can't have a camera over them and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll see some really cool performances and some winners and great looks. I love all these award shows. We'll see people who are there in person, the hosts look great.
Oh, yes.
And then there's such a drastic difference of award winners when they accept. If someone's all dressed up having a party at their house, or like Jason Sudeikis chilling in a hoodie just all by himself accepting the award looking like he's on FaceTime. So I love seeing the looks, in quotes, red carpet looks.
Yes. I think it's interesting too because this is a time, award season, for designers to really, you know, shine. And I never knew this, but like a lot of the times when a dress is made or an outfit or something, it's made, like the stars don't necessarily pay for it. They lend them the dress or the jewelry or whatever it may be just to get their name out there. And I find that super interesting where artists are helping other forms of artists put their name out and like look gorgeous and beautiful and put their brand. And I'm wearing, you know, so Christian Siriano, or I'm wearing Chanel or Dior or whatever it may be. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And someone that was no stranger to the red carpet and beautiful dresses and continues to wear beautiful outfits and is just a beautiful female is Meghan Markle.
Oh, yes. What an icon.
Yeah, and she obviously has been in the news a lot lately
because of
her and Harry's interview with Oprah,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure a lot of you who are listening have heard that interview or
yes.
seen memes or know a little bit about it. But I actually want to talk about something different about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
Okay.
Not related to that at all. Did you know that they were set up on a blind date by a friend?
I did hear that. And when I read that, I remember texting one of my friends and I said, why can't you set me up with a prince?
Yeah, could you imagine that? You go on this blind date and it's like, what do you do for work? Obviously, this is high profile people that you probably expect. I work in SEO, or I'm the CEO of this company, or I'm starting this startup. It's like, nah, I'm the prince. Like, what? Like,
I'm in line.
Subtle flex.
My trap.
But yeah, they were set up by a friend who worked in PR for Ralph Lauren. That's Meghan said it was definitely a setup. It was a blind date. I didn't know much about him. And so the only thing I had asked her when she said that she was going to set us up, she had one question, and she said, is he nice?
You know, that's a good question, though. That's a quality question. So then, I want to read a couple other celebrities that were set up. by like as a blind date and friends, and then we'll go from there. So did you know Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris were set up?
Really? I love Calvin Harris and Taylor Swift.
I've seen him multiple times live.
Yeah, so they were set up. They dated briefly, right? It was a short stint. Do you know who set them up?
I don't know. Do you?
I believe, and this is someone that I've seen in person, I believe it was Ellie Goulding.
Ooh, girl, I love her. She has such an angelic voice.
She recently got married as well.
Oh my gosh, her wedding was stunning. She looked absolutely gorgeous. It was so classy. Oh,
it really was. It was beautiful. But if I'm remembering right, she said when she played Matchmaker, the reason that she wanted to set up Taylor and Calvin Harris is because she was friends with Calvin Harris. Obviously, they've made some songs together.
Yes.
They're kind of in that same genre of music. And then she thought Taylor's cool, and they're both tall, so they would make a good pair. That was her rationale.
All right, so the next one we have is Emily Blunt and John Kerensky. And she was set up, I'm going to answer the question for you, by her Devil Wears Prada co-star, Anne Hathaway. And that's really interesting. And they had a movie, they had two movies together. They were husband and wife in it. They're a cute couple. I think they're really cute.
They really are. John Krasinski, he's so funny and he's so versatile.
Yes.
Obviously, he played Jim on The Office for so long and really leaned into the comedy side of things. And then, yeah, they had the horror movie together.
Yes.
And then he had the movie where he was a soldier and had the beard. And he's really adapted to a lot of roles. So, and they got set up by Anne Hathaway. So, I mean, that's a pretty big duo right there.
You know what he said? So he said, you know, when he met her, he was so nervous. I was like, oh God, I think I'm going to fall in love with her. As I shook her hand and I was like, I like you. Like, how funny is that? Like, you get set up, you're both like high, like A-lister profile, like clients or celebrities, and you meet each other and you're nervous to meet each other. Like, can you imagine? Like, that just blows my mind.
I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, you're still a human being and you see a pretty girl and you're nervous. I mean, his palms probably got a little sweaty and the best thing he could come up with is, I like you. But I respect that he was straight up.
Yes.
One that I'm familiar and I want to mention is Tom Brady was actually set up.
Can you imagine?
And he's dating Giselle, for those of you that may not know who Giselle is. She is the highest paid supermodel still, I believe. I know she was for a long time. She makes a lot more money than Tom does, actually. She's,
good for her.
She's the breadwinner in that family. They're doing well. But, yeah, they were set up because a friend of Tom's said, hey, I know the girl version of you. You need to meet her.
Oh my gosh, that's bold.
Yeah, and Giselle said, I knew Tom was the one straight away. I could see it in his eyes that he was a man with integrity who believes in the same things I do.
Aww.
So apparently she admitted that, yeah, this is another guy. He believes in the same things I do. He's the male version of me. Let's just make it work.
Wow, wow. Okay, so I have one I want to talk about. Meghan Trainor.
Yes.
Big fan of her music. All about that bass. And she was set up by Chloe. And
she was set up by who?
Chloe Moretz.
Oh, okay, yes.
She was set up on a date with him. And her husband, have you ever seen the movie Spy Kids?
Oh, yeah.
So you know how it's the brother and the sister, right?
Yeah.
So the little boy, the brother, is who Meghan Trainor married.
Stop it, no.
Yes. Daryl Sabraw.
Okay.
So he was a little boy. He rose to fame in Spy Kids, and they got set up by a friend who's another celebrity, Chloe Grace Moretz, and it blew my mind. They started dating around 4 years ago when a mutual friend introduced them together, and now they recently just had their first child. I have a little baby boy. He's so cute. And this is what Chloe says, her friend that set her up, Chloe Grace Moretz. She goes, I met Meghan. We hung out. She really wanted to meet a good guy. I knew Daryl really well from when we did a play together. I set them up. They're engaged to be married. So I'm a real matchmaker. Like, can you imagine setting up two friends and then they get married? Like, how much pride would you have if you had, like, one of your really good friends, you set them up, you're like, I got someone, they're my friend. You know, you let fate be fate. And then they end up getting married. Like,
That would be awesome. And it's funny that they're married and things of that nature because, like we talked about Nathan Kress on our last episode on iCarly, like, I don't know if I can picture him as a grown-up. Like,
no, he looks the same.
They're someone that, like, you just, whenever you think of them, you always see them as the kid from iCarly or the kid from Spy Kids. So it's funny to, yeah, hear about that and think about him in this serious relationship with someone like Meghan Trainor.
Well, I will say this, and I'll leave it off with this. As we mentioned, you asked me earlier, do you prefer going on an active date, doing something active? So their first date was at a double date at a bowling alley, and she said that he kissed her during that date, and she had to tell her security to step outside because she didn't want them to see it. So not only are you two, like, high-profile celebrities, but you have to tell your security, can you step away? Like, I want to kiss this man.
Wow. That is wild. Has a friend ever set you up on a blind date?
Yes. And I don't remember. It didn't very go well because I'm clearly not still dating them. But I remember briefly in college I was set up on a date, and it just was like, I don't know. You know, when you I want to hang out with them, I just didn't.
Yeah, a completely blind date, yeah, sometimes can be tough.
You know nothing about them.
Exactly, when, like, a friend, like, slides you their phone number or something, and you talk a little bit before the date. But yeah, just completely going in without knowing anything. You don't really know anything about their personality yet. I feel like either sparks fly, or, it can be kind of strange.
Have you been set up on a blind date?
Not necessarily a blind date. Okay. I've definitely been set up before where the situation I just said, I'll get a phone number and we'll text, like, maybe for a day or something and then hang out so that we kind of know each other a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and, like, a blind date, obviously, if you have their, like, if you get their name ahead of time, but you don't really know anything about them, you show up and you know who their grandma is, you know their aunt's name, because, you know, you're checking their social media profiles. So yeah, a blind date, you get in that lull too where, like, I know too much about this person. I don't want to bring it up so that they think I'm a creep. But I think dating and probably blind dates or friends, setting up friends, has become more prevalent, especially during the last year while a lot of people can't go out. Bars have been closed, things of that nature. What do you think as far as, let's call it COVID dating?
I think it's hard too because not only can you not physically be, like, around people and meet them, but, like, that, like, emotional and, like, physical connection is really hard. Like, you know, when you meet someone, you make eye contact with them, you see them in, like, real life, and, like, you can, like, physically, you know, put your hands on them and be like, oh my gosh, or, like, flip your hair or do whatever you need to do, and, like, you can't do that, and it's so hard to have that connection, I think, over, like, a screen, whether, you know, it's FaceTime or you're texting or a dating app. Like, it's really hard, I think, to get that connection as opposed to, like, when you meet someone and you're out, or you get introduced to someone when you're out there. You can get their phone number or their social media, but, like, you physically have seen them first. It's not like, okay, I'm going on a date, I'm waiting in the car to see if that's really them. Do they really look like that? Do they have extra filters? You know, it's really, really different, and I think it's hard for anybody to date in this crazy world. What do you think?
I think, obviously things have changed a lot. At the very beginning of this a year ago, people were getting so creative, and I remember seeing people that would have FaceTime dates that lived in cities that have rooftops at the top of apartment buildings where they could physically see each other because they'd be on rooftops across from each other, but be on FaceTime to have a conversation.
Yes,
I saw
one
where a guy was in, like, an inflatable bubble, and he asked, like, this girl if they wanted to go on a walk.
Yes, that's hard too because, you know, people think, like, emotions play a big part of it, but, like, when you're physically with someone, it's a lot different than being, like, separated by a phone screen or, like, a computer screen and, like, being able to have it. And I think it's really important to be together and to really get to know someone. And I don't know, man. It's tough. It's really tough.
I agree, and I respect that creativity that a lot of people had. And, I mean, you mentioned dating apps. You got to get kind of creative on sometimes. And one of our favorite things to do, me and you, is you'll send me screenshots of the different
introductory pickup
lines you get
yes.
on the dating apps. So I'm sure dating apps have seen an uptick in users.
Oh, yeah.
Since this, do you have a favorite dating app, or have you tried multiple of them?
No, I haven't. Here and there. To me, it's so hard to connect with people, and I would personally rather be in person and meet someone than go on a dating app. I have friends that have tried it, and they either really like it or they're just over it. It's kind of like a hit or a miss, and I guess it depends where you are. Location, I think, is a little interesting as well. But, you know, some really prefer having those dating apps and just talking to people and having that connection there. Or some people would rather just meet in person. One I have heard that my friends have liked, and I've heard different versions because there are different versions of the app, is Bumble. And I've never used Bumble. I'm not really familiar with it. But my friend told me a lot about it, and I did some research about it. And there's three different types of Bumble. You can do the regular Bumble where you're meeting a significant other or partner. You can do Bumble BFF, where you meet friends, and it's strictly for friends. And then there's the Bumble Professional one, where you can meet, you know, connect around a professional or career. And I think it's very interesting to see the different versions of an app that originally started as a dating app. And the original dating app was by a female. And it's really cool because she did it so the female or the girl has to message the male first. Which is weird because in society, it's always like the male has to do it. They, like, I know that's what I've always like seen. Like, the male has to do everything and then the female can reach out if they want. Where this one's kind of the flip and the reverse, where the female reaches out, which I find very interesting. And now that it is, you know, Women's Month, I think it's interesting to talk about because she is the youngest female CEO to take a company public. I was reading about this when it happened, and it was so cool to see because when she was doing it and all the confetti and there was a huge picture, she was carrying her child. And I think that is like the coolest thing, such a badass like female and woman that's created this company and grown it so large to see that. I mean, what are your thoughts?
That's awesome. Yeah, the CEO of Bumble, her name is Whitney Wolf Hurd. Definitely, she worked for Tinder before creating her
Yes,
own
I saw
app.
That.
So I think, yeah, that's such a unique thing because I think for a lot of females on dating apps, like, it's a positive platform. They're looking for someone to hang out with, someone to meet. But yeah, you get these wacky pickup lines and dudes that are kind of, you know, maybe a little too aggressive. I have a book called Tinder Nightmares.
Oh, no.
And I can't believe some of the things that are in that book. So I think it's really cool that she created a platform that empowers women like that and gives them a sense of comfort and a safe place where they can really lead the conversation. And like you said, not just for dating, but for you move to a new city and you just want to connect with some friends, you can also do that and you can really filter it to, oh, I'm just looking to be friends with women, or I'm just looking for some male friends to go out with. You can kind of customize it. And I think that's cool too, because even if you're looking for a partner, You can go on this Bumble Friends, Bumble BFF, Find a friend, a group of girls, get your girl gang together, and then they're going to have friends that they can introduce you, kind of a friend of a friend. We just talked about friends introducing you to their friends because They know their personality, your personality. So
it's,
I think,
funny
it's a
that
really
you
cool
say
platform.
That. I think that's really interesting you say that because I always tell like my friends are like, I don't know, should I go on this date? I'm not sure. I said, look, what's the worst that could happen? You know, you're already single, so you're going on this date, you might have a good time, you might not. However, you don't know who this person knows, and they could introduce you to someone else. And I think that's a very valid point that people get nervous. I don't know if I should meet them, and I know it's harder now because everyone is not used to going out and getting all dressed up to meet people, but you never know who that person knows where you can meet someone else through them. And I always encourage people to say, go out, have fun, have low expectations, you know, and see what happens. And who knows, you could meet someone from them, or they could be your potential person.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50.
Totally true. And before we wrap things up here, I actually pulled up some of the screenshots of pickup lines you sent me.
Ooh, yes, let's hear them.
I want to read a couple of them.
Please do.
This first one comes from a guy named Kyle.
Oh, Kyle.
And Kyle said, damn, I need to cancel my Spotify subscription because they failed to show me this hot single of the week.
Ooh, that's one of my favorites.
I love it. You like that one? That's
I
a
do.
Good one.
That was a good one.
This one says, you know what you and Google have in common?
What do we have in common?
You said, oh, please tell me.
Okay,
to
tell me.
To which he responded, you both have everything I'm searching for.
Ooh, another good one.
Those are some good ones. Those are some cream of the crop compared to some of the other ones that you've sent me.
Oh, no.
Which I don't have them pulled up. This one is funny. This is from Sam. Are you a bank loan? Because you have my interest. And here's a good one. Here's
okay,
a good one.
Let's
I like
hear
this
it.
One. And we'll end on this one. Are you lightning? Because I'm trying to make you McQueen.
Ooh.
Ka-chow.
Ooh, yes! Ka-chow.
I think of all of them, that's probably my favorite one because that really taps it. That's funny.
That's a good one. Wow. These are some funny pickup lines. You know, if you guys have a pickup line or a story of a blind date, please tell us right in and we'd love to hear it. We'll share about it and discuss what we think. Pickup lines are always great. You know, it's weird flirting because you never know these days. I read a meme the other day and it was like, sometimes guys think I'm flirting when I'm just being nice, but I'm just not interested. But when I'm weird, awkward, and uncomfortable, then I'm really flirting. And I think that's so funny. And I think nowadays a lot of people are going to be like that because we're not used to hanging out with people and physically being with them and around them. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a transition period, which is funny to think about. Things
yes.
are definitely going to change. Dating is changing. But thank goodness we have people like Whitney Wolf Heard making Bumble and connecting people, definitely bringing people together. Well, I mean, I think we covered it today. That's awesome.
We
talked
we have
about so many great things. Talk with your dates about All-Star Game. Don't try and pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo's name.
No,
just
don't do it.
Just call him the Greek Freak.
Or Giannis.
Make sure that you fill out a bracket. Make
yes.
sure you enter all these contests. You never know. You could win some money. Bogey Boys, let us know what you think of the style. Don't miss the Grammys. Enjoy some dates. Maybe your friend will set you up on a blind date. And you'll find your Prince of England.
Yes, we would love to hear all your stories of how our topics, news, and discussions helped you lead to a successful and engaging conversation. And we just might share that on our next episode. I'm your host, Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we'll see you next time on the Offsides Podcast.